Welcome back to another episode of Daily Fortnite, your daily podcast about Fortnite. I'm your host, Mikey, aka Mike Daddy, aka Magnificent Mikey. Okay, so for our first piece of news today, we are going to finally talk about that technical service outage report that I talked about and go over it. Now, I'm not going to go over every single little detail. I found that they do have a little summary, so that's pretty much what we're going to go over because, yeah, I read through the entire thing, but, you know, I don't really understand this stuff, so we're gonna do our best to go over what happened. And just the basic part of what we're doing here is understanding that Epic and Fortnite understand that there was an issue and that it needs to be fixed, and that they are working on that, and hopefully making sure that that is something that will be fixed for any, you know, future. You know, it'll be fixed in the future so that it doesn't happen again like we had back on April 6th. So let's go ahead and read this little technical report that they have. So, our team is dedicated to delivering the best possible experience to players, and as part of that, it's important that we carefully maintain our systems so that you can continue playing Fortnite and other games in the Epic ecosystem. On April 6, 2021, an issue with an expired certificate caused an outage across a large portion of internal back-end service-to-service calls and internal management tools. What's that mean? Well, it caused a number of issues for our games and services. And if you were playing Fortnite at the time, it likely impacted your Epic account's ability to authenticate and ultimately your ability to play the game. While the issue was resolved in a matter of hours, understanding the issue is paramount to our team. Whether it's an expired certificate, a server outage, or other issues that impact your experience, it's important we understand why issues occur, how to resolve them, and what we can do in the future to avoid further issues. Specifically with this issue, we thought many of you might be interested in reading our detailed certificate expiration technical report. Thanks for reading and supporting Fortnite. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to head on over to this expiration report. Now, again, we're not going to go over every little detail. I'm basically going to read the beginning of this where they tell what the problem was, and then the end of it where they kind of explain what they're going to do to fix that in the future. So on April 6, 2021, we had a wildcard TLS certificate unexpectedly expire. It is embarrassing when a certificate expires, but we felt it was important to share our story here in hopes that others can also take our learnings and improve their systems. If you or your organization are using certificate monitoring, this may be a good reminder to check for gaps in those systems. The certificate that expired was used across many internal-facing services at Epic, too many, in fact. Despite our best efforts to monitor our certificates for expiration, we didn't fully cover every area where certificates were being used. Following the expiration and renewal of the certificate, a series of unexpected events unfolded that extended the outage. We have more details on those in this post. Core components like our identity and authentication systems were impacted, and these services touch many other services across our entire ecosystem. The following impacts were seen or reported. Epic Accounts login failed from any products using this form of authentication, including Fortnite, Rocket League, House Party, Epic Online Services, or Epic Game Store. Disconnections from live gameplay or services from all platforms. Purchasing of items from Epic Games Launcher failed. Unexpected behavior in the Epic Games Launcher from content not loading to offline mode not working. Epic Games product and marketing websites were unavailable or degraded, including Unreal Engine sites. Multiple internal tooling issues impacting Epic employees' ability to resolve or manage issues. This post intended to provide you with detailed insights about what happened, what we learned, and steps we're going to take in the future. So we're just going to go over what the three major events were, and then we'll get to their little explanation at the end where everything is kind of because they have a bunch of stuff in the middle, but then we'll get to the end where they kind of put everything back into a short little blurb for us so I don't have to read every little thing in here for you. So three major sequences of events occurred. An expired certificate caused an outage across a large portion of internal back-end service to service calls and internal management tools. Unexpected significant increases or traffic to the Epic Games launcher disrupted service for the Epic Games launcher and content distribution features. An incorrect version of the Epic Games Store website referencing invalid artifacts and assets was deployed as part of the automatic scaling, degrading the Epic Games Store experience. So those were the three major factors that led to that outage back on April the 6th. So now let's go ahead and get to their little blurb at the end that kind of is their explanation of what is going to be done in the future. Let's see here. What's next? In the sections above, we covered the scenarios that led to the surprises and ultimately the outage on April 6th. We mentioned our next steps along our contributing factors, but we'll recap these here as well. There is no single root cause to these issues. A myriad of factors, both technological and organizational, contributed to the events that unfolded. The scope and length of the outage helped us discover not only explicit bugs in our systems, which we will work to correct, but also previously unquestioned assumptions in some of our internal processes, especially those governing certificate management. While we immediately move to cover this zone with our newer certificate monitoring system and audited all existing known certificates, we're going to take a deeper look at any additional gaps in our certificate monitoring and add additional future proofing, like adding AWS configuration monitoring for all AWS ACM-based certificates. We'll also work to reduce the blast radius of any particular certificate. We're going to take a closer look at our Epic Games Launcher client call patterns and urgently fix some bugs that we have identified as part of this, as well as improve our ability to react to situations of significantly increased traffic. With the permanent increase of our connection tracking tables for this fleet, we should be able to handle a similar amount of load without major packet loss. Let's see, I lost my place here. Without major packet loss. If you run large-scale fleets, this may be a good reminder to check on your connection tracking table limits and alarming if you utilize this net filter functionality. Also, we're happy to serve as a good reminder to check and retry logic in your clients, and especially how they might behave in aggregate after long outage. For the Epic Games Store, we have deployed a fix that should prevent modifying a live application object, and as part of this, we learned about and fixed a bug in our asset generation. We hope this incident report provided you with additional detail on what happened on April 6th. We hope these details shed light on our learnings and improvements and help others avoid similar issues. Join us. This post was written by our reliability engineering team with loads of help from many other amazing engineering teams here at Epic. Are you interested in these sorts of problems, passionate about gaming and game services? Epic is always looking for great talent, and we are hiring globally across all skill sets. If you are looking for open positions, then visit the Epic Games Career Hub. Did this post help you, or did you find this interesting? Let us know at publicincidentresponse@epicgames.com. So there you go. That's basically the gist of what I can give you without getting super technical detailed report, just kind of going over, you know, skimming over the basic stuff. I'm sure there's a lot of you that understand that a lot better than me. And, you know, everything that they said they are, you know, working on fixing here in the future, I'm hoping is going to be fixed soon. and, you know, we won't run into that sort of issue where we have a big outage again like that. Now let's go ahead and get back to the game itself and go over what we have in the LTMs today, which are some great ones. We got Sniper Shootout Duos, Team Rumble, of course, and then Community Creations Millionaire Tycoons, Zone Wars, Nikkei's 30 Zone Wars Duos, The Pit, and we have a new Solo Rumble Siphon. Okay, so this is really cool. I don't ever remember this being a thing before where we had a Solo Rumble, but this Solo Rumble, you start out with 50 players in the match, and it's the first one to 60 eliminations. People know that there have been times in the past where I've hosted community Team Rumble matches where we all drop in the same match together. You know, like 16 of us would party up together, and then, or however many people we had, we would all drop in together and see who could get the most eliminations during a Solo Rumble. You know, there'd be everybody in the match would be getting, because we were all gunning to try to outdo each other. Everybody would have like anywhere from like 15 to 30 eliminations every match on our team. So we were always winning in Team Rumble 2. So it was always a lot of fun. But this is going to be really fun to do it solo. You're going against a bunch of other players, like, you know, 49 other players who are all respawning, who all have glider redeploy, and all have siphon. So it's a pretty, it's a madhouse when you drop in there. So many players and so much building and third partying. It's an absolute blast, though, just to be able to play like that and have that much of an action-packed match. Like, Team Rumble can be fun, but you players out there who like to play Team Rumble a lot, you know that when, you know, you're going up against another team and it's looking like your team is going to win right away, and then a bunch of players from the other team starts dropping out right away, and then you have a hard time finding players to eliminate, and it takes forever to finish out the match. I don't see that being the case with this, just because it's everybody versus everybody. So if everybody else dropped out, you would get the win. And even if, you know, a bunch of people drop out, you're all still going to be sharing the same circle. So it shouldn't be, you know, as bad to be looking for elims to get to the limit there, which is 60. So pretty cool LTM that we have today. Let's see here. What else do we have? My controller keeps disconnecting for some reason. But we're going to look at a tip of the day. Well, you know what? Our tip of the day, let's see here for this one. The next one is just search ammo boxes. So again, this is the type of challenge where all you have to do is just play the game and, you know, land in places, and you're eventually going to find some ammo boxes in any of the major locations that you land. So that's what I would do, land in the major locations and start opening up those ammo boxes. Let's see here, if I can get my controller to stay on, we're going to take a look at what's in the item shop, so I can scroll through everything. If not, I'll look it up in the Discord where the thing posts so that I can see everything. Okay, let's see here. You still got the Cyber Infiltration Pack and Tools Pack. The Fortnite Assassin Challenge Pack is here. I forgot to mention that, but yeah, that's the one where, you know, you get the Contract Giller outfit, the Dorsal Destroyer back bling, and the Contract Giller quest, which can get you up to 1,000 V-Bucks once you finish all the challenges, and that is $7.99 in U.S., dollars, wherever you're at. When you go into the item shop, it'll show you exactly how much this is in whatever country you're in. We also have the Horizon Zero Dawn bundle still here, the Fishy Offers, all those items are still here, and then we have the Magnus outfit with the Enduring Cape backbling for 2,000, the Safari outfit with the Gunny Sack backbling for 1,200, the Hit It emote for 500, the Fire Spinner emote for 800, the Sproing emote for 200, the Amazing Cube emote for 200, Let's see here. Oh, that sproing emote is new. This just looks so much like something that would have been in Fortnite before. I didn't even realize that this is like a brand new emote, but that's cool. But we also have the Empress pet back bling back in the item shop. 1,000 V-Bucks. Haven't seen this in a long time. Introduced back in Season 8 when, you know, pets were a big thing back then. Haven't seen pets, you know, as part of a battle pass in a long time either. But, yeah, there you go. The Empress is back. We have the Brightstorm Bomber Bundle, which has the Brightstorm Bomber, the Gordo Backbling, and the Breezy Basher's Harvesting Tool for 1,900. That's 800 V-Bucks off the total. You can get them separately. The Brightstorm Bomber outfit with the Gordo Backbling is 1,500. The Breezy Basher's Harvesting Tool is 1,200. We also have the Sookie outfit with the Atana Backbling for 1,200, one of my favorites. The Copper Wasp outfit with the Striped Stalker Backbling for 1,500. The Power Punch Harvesting Tool for 1,200. The Stinger Wrap for 300. The Deadeye outfit with the Second Sight Backbling for 2,000. The Spectral Scythe Harvesting Tool for 800. The Dead Wave Wrap for 500. And that looks like everything today, so you can get any and all of these items using code MikeDaddy, MMMIKEDADDY, in the item shop, and some of the proceeds will go to help support the show. Okay, for our tip of the day, I'm going to tell you to go play that team, or not even Team Rumble, that Solo Rumble Siphon. It's actually a lot of fun, and it's a great way to warm up. I mean, I know you can drop into Creative and get a lot of practicing that way, but the thing with the Team Rumble solo that we have added in now, it's an entirely different game than what you would have in Creative, because you're constantly in. Like, I like Creative because it goes in rounds most of the times when you're doing zone wars or box fights, and that's great. But you know, if you're someone like me and you get eliminated early in the round, every round, you're waiting for the next round to start. But with Team Rumble, boom, you're eliminated. You just respawn right back in. So it's constant action. Go all the time with this one, which is great because it just really heightens your senses once you go back in and just play regular pubs or even arena, because you've had such a heightened sense of action for however long you were playing your Siphon Solo Rumble, that you know, you're good to go. Like, anything, you're going to be third partied, fourth partied, fifth party, sixth partied so much when you're playing this Siphon Solo Rumble that you know, any situation you're going to end up in you know, a normal 1v1, or even if you're getting just a third partied in a normal match, it's going to seem so much less stressful after playing a big Siphon Rumble, Solo Rumble like this. So that's what I would suggest doing, and, you know, you'll get some fun out of it too. All right, so that's the end of the episode. Make sure you go join the Daily Fortnite Discord and hang out with us. Follow me over on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. It's Mike Daddy on all of those. Head over to Apple Podcasts, leave a 5-star rating and a written review for a shout out on the show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And until next time, have fun, be safe, and don't get lost in the storm.